paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another midweek listener minisode. I hope you all enjoyed our little trip to Scotland for our look at Boleskine House. And of course, with Halloween being the 31st, or tomorrow if you're listening on the main feed, that was our last little extra minisode for the Halloween season. However, from the feedback we have received, I think it might be something we'll look to introduce for season 18. Along with another few little changes that hopefully should make your listening experience that much better. And of course, speaking of season 18, now is certainly the time to get your submissions in for that season. Each season, it really surprises me how quick that inbox fills up earlier and earlier within the season. And considering we still have 3 episodes to go of The Dark Paranormal, we've already received arguably enough to get through 2 more seasons. But we don't really want to just put out everything that we receive on the main show. We do want to give everything we receive an audience, and it will find one, be it on a minisode or on one of our Dark Bites episodes, because all experiences are valid. That said, not all experiences fit what we expect for the dark paranormal. So if you yourself have experienced a paranormal event that you cannot explain, please email it over to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And although I will reiterate that in terms of us receiving your experience and me reading it out for our listeners, size is not of importance. For the dark paranormal itself, it is kind of essential that your experience is at least 6 sides of A4 paper. Ideally, for a Word document, it would be the font size 11, just to let you know. And also, what we do ask is when somebody thinks they have a good experience, but it's not quite the full length of 30 minutes, just send what you have. We don't need anything with filler in. I don't think any of us really want to know the full layout of each and every part of your house if it's not relevant to the story. And that's not said in any way to dissuade anyone from submitting their experience. It's basically to make sure that what we receive are the salient parts of your experience. Occasionally, on previous seasons, as long-time listeners will know, we'll have been a bit caught out by someone with basically a 15-minute experience, spending 10 minutes talking about how we get round their house. And yes, it might have made their experience now 30 minutes in length, but they never refer to that layout again. So what we end up with is a 30-minute episode which feels kind of mundane. Ironically, the experience itself, if used on a minisode, would have been fantastic. Don't get me wrong, explaining a layout of somewhere may well help visually in people's minds for an experience, but only if it's relevant to the experience. So, once more, don't forget that email address, contact@thedarkparanormal.com, which, of course, is the address that the following anonymous submission has come to. And they write, "Hi, Kevin. This is a story of things that happened in 2 different houses I lived in. I hope you read this one out, and I hope it makes your listeners shiver as much as it did me. And please, if you could, keep me anonymous throughout the email. When I was 10 years old, my family and I moved to a beautiful pink house in the west of Ireland. It had high ceilings, wide open rooms, and it was set back from the road with a rather long driveway. It was well known in the local area, as 3 priests had died in the house years before, all separate from one another. I was the only girl, so I had my own small bedroom. My bedroom was upstairs and had a small fireplace in it, about 5 feet from the end of my bed. One day, a sooty handprint appeared on the wall above the fireplace, as if someone had just handled some coal, then placed their hand on the wall. Now, this was no regular-sized handprint. This was huge. Far too big to belong to anyone in my family. But it wasn't just that one time. The handprint used to appear on different areas of that wall. Right over the fireplace, high up near the ceiling. It would move around every day. It was easily wiped off, but it would appear again when my bedroom was empty. I got so freaked out, I started sleeping with the light on. Other strange things would happen in the house all of the time. We'd be sitting down, watching TV, when what appeared to be a golf ball would fly across the room and bounce off the wall. In reality, there'd be no golf ball to be found. The VCR would rewind videos randomly. The TV would change channels by itself. My mum couldn't find her car keys, and they'd be in the fridge. My brothers would wait for the school bus, and a man would ask them if the fairies had visited yet. There was a telephone in the house, but it wasn't connected. Yet, one day, it started to ring. My parents looked at each other, and my dad picked it up. Of course, there was nobody on the other end. But still, the phone continued to ring. It would happen at random. They eventually called someone in to check it out, but he dismissed them and said it wasn't possible. He even bought lunch with him, as they told him it might take a while. A few hours after he arrived, he sat down to have his lunch, and the phone rang. My mum nodded her head to him and said, "There you go." He laughed, picked up the phone, and the phone kept ringing. The colour drained from his face, and he said, "You need to get the hell out of here." And he ran. He left his lunch behind, and he never returned. Don't ask why, but we still stayed at the house. It was such a stunning house, and I think my parents were just willing to compromise for it. I shouldn't laugh, but I'm chuckling as I type this, also with goosebumps. One of the bedrooms in the house was built over the kitchen. It was a rather strange layout, but my brother loved his room. One night, around 3 a.m, he woke up to a slashing sound. He did not dare move. This sound was followed by something bouncing on the stairs outside his bedroom. A door opening and gravel behind the house being dug up. Unbeknownst to him, I woke up to the same digging sound as it was outside my bedroom, which was on the second story. We heard, according to what the neighbours had to say, that apparently a man had killed his wife in the house by using a sword to decapitate her. He bounced her head down the stairs, took it outside, and buried it in the gravel. I still don't know why we stayed. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, for your kids, and your retirement. If you're anything like me, you would have believed you need a degree or you need some expert knowledge and a load of money before you invest, but it's just not true. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals. They then automatically invest your money for you. And now Acorns is putting their money into your future. Open an Acorns Later IRA and get up to a 3% match on new contributions. and that extra money for your retirement. Acorns has allowed me to look back at my past at times when I've thought, investment isn't for people like me. And although now I'm a huge fan of Acorns, I just wish they existed 25 years ago when I first started earning money. Because by having the wrong perception that investment isn't for people like me, I've not given my money the chance to grow. But that's something, even at this point in life, I'm going to make right. So why don't you head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
My mum woke one night to a dark figure standing in her bedroom doorway. My dad was fast asleep beside her. My mum said the figure was too tall to be one of the younger kids, but also too short to be one of the elder kids. The figure walked to the end of my baby brother's crib. The baby stirred, and my mum said, "Shh, you'll wake the baby," to the figure. The figure came closer to her, and then she realized it was her own grandmother. She was coming to visit my baby brother at 6 weeks old, just like she told my mum she would. She died at 3:30 a.m. My brother was born at 3:30 p.m. on the same day. So she never got to meet him properly. The final straw came when my baby brother was 8 weeks old. All of us kids were in school. My dad was at work and my mum was going to take the baby out in the car. It was a chilly May day, and once my brother was strapped into his seat, my mum realised she'd forgotten his little hat. She ran back into the house and upstairs to grab one. She got to her bedroom door and heard a voice, boom, "Get out!" She ran. She did not look back, and she refused to go back into the house until my dad was home from work. Finally, the decision was made to move out of that house. Phew. Now I'll move on to my more recent experiences. A different house in the north of Ireland. The year was 2016, and I was living with my boyfriend. I was pregnant with our first baby. While he was at work one day, I laid down to rest. 2 minutes after I'd laid down, I heard someone whisper my name. I ran downstairs and decided I'd sit with our dog, a Staffordshire Terrier, at least until my boyfriend came home from work. While I was sitting down, I heard footsteps upstairs in my son's nursery, a nursery we still hadn't finished yet. While I was pregnant, we bought our son a Paddington Bear outfit to wear as his coming home outfit from hospital. When it came to packing my hospital bag, the outfit was missing. We searched high and low. It could have only been in the nursery. But it wasn't. The scariest of all was when my boyfriend was at work one day. I was heavily pregnant at this time, so we'd made sure everything was ready. Everything was set up for our baby boy's arrival. His wardrobe was full of clothes. His changing unit was all stocked up and we were good to go. I waddled up the stairs to the nursery to potter around and admire our hard work. Except I couldn't open the nursery door. It was a struggle to push open. And I eventually worked out why. You see, the massive carry cot from my son's pram was full of clothes, and it was pushed up against his door from the inside of the room. The rest of the room was in total disarray. The rest of his clothes from his wardrobe was strewn around the crib, on the floor. There were nappies and packs of baby wipes everywhere. The nursery was a total utter mess. Before I went into labour, I bought an exercise ball to help me along. We brought it straight home from the shop to blow up in the living room. So we took it from the car into the living room, unpacked it, and realised that the plastic plug was missing. So we decided to go back to the shop the next day to return it, as it was a bit of a drive away. That afternoon, I went up to the nursery, and the plug was in the middle of his floor, despite us nor the box ever being up there. The tales of that house end there, and we moved into our current home in 2017, when our son was a few months old. And guess what we found when we unpacked? The Paddington Bear outfit in a black bag. We hear noises in this current house. Things I can't explain. Something falling, but there's not a thing out of place. Something being thrown against a wall and bouncing, but not a thing out of place. Footsteps on the landing, doors opening. My now husband has seen something, part of a figure wearing something with black stripes, just out of the corner of his eye, when he turned his head. And just last week, when I turned my head, I very briefly saw the exact same thing. Briefly, but it was there. We have security cameras in the house, facing outside, so we can listen back to the noises. But we can never explain them. I'm not sure if I have something attached to me, or it's all just coincidence. I would love your opinion on it. Thank you for reading and I hope you enjoyed it. I love the podcast so much, it makes my cleaning so much easier. Many thanks, Anonymous. Well, firstly, as ever, Anonymous, thank you for providing this week's listener minisode. Now, let's throw this out to our wider audience, because as I've stated many a time, a fan of the paranormal I am, an expert I am not, and anyone who claims to be, take with a pinch of salt. But if we're playing the Kev have a guess, throw a dart in the dark at what you think this may be, well, firstly, there must be some sort of psychic ability in the family. If your grandmother, before her death, told your mother that she would come back to see your baby brother. So maybe you've picked up something of what your grandmother had. And therefore, unlike something following you, it could be more like when you see, for example, a cruise ship line in and you have the leader of that group with a flag in the air, and everybody follows it. Your gift may be the flag in the air that these home spirits see, and therefore they come out and try to interact with you. My only other thought would be that it could be your grandmother. If she was able to manifest in front of your mother and look at your baby brother, maybe she's doing the exact same thing with your son. But either way, thank you so much for the minisode, Anonymous. It's a really interesting experience. And I can't wait to speak to you all again on Friday for episode 8. Until then, goodbye.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.